guess we can wait one more minute or so. All right. Well, thank you both for joining us this evening. Melissa, I will turn it over to you.
Okay. So I have a few things to go over this evening. First, we have some new clinical staff joining my team. Stephanie Black, LPN, has started about 30 days ago. So you may be receiving emails from her already. Sam Dillon, RN, she joined the team about 3 weeks ago, and she's actually based in Southern California. She will actually be coming into the corporate office on Monday for some training. And then Lauren Karasimi, RN, will be joining us Monday also. So welcome them, receive them openly. We're beefing up the team to make sure that we can provide you as much support and assistance as we can, and to make sure that we're providing all the education we can out in the field. MIPS 2024, I did the final submission on Friday. That's the good news. Bad news is in California, we had to take a hardship. And if we didn't take a hardship, we would have had a negative impact because we didn't score high enough. Ohio, Illinois, New York, and New Jersey, we had a positive outcome, but it wasn't high enough to increase the fee schedules. We scored in the 70s and 80s, and we need to be scoring in the 90s to receive a positive adjustment to increase our fee schedules. So that's hopefully in 2025 we'll have a better outcome. And I know Milt will want to speak a little bit on that. Milt, you want to go ahead and talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, just so that everyone understands how we score on MIPS. A few years ago, we were able to adjust all the provider fee schedules up 5% because we had a positive that gave us 5%. And the last couple years, that's not happened at all. We've come very close to going the wrong way. Because on MIPS, you can go up to 9% increase or up to a 9% decrease. And this year, for instance, California dragged everybody down in terms of its responsiveness, but every other area was not great either. It just wasn't as bad. So we need to get everyone to participate and enter their information because it can make a difference in your, it not can, it would make a difference in your direct pay on every single patient visit you have. So it's very important.
And like I explained earlier, MIPS is actually a Medicare requirement. You know, if you were in an oncology practice, you know, you would have to submit, you know, information, a dermatology practice. We're required to participate. We do get audited. We were audited back in October, November, and we were required to show that we are actually participating. They looked to make sure all of the providers are participating, and that we are actually compliant. So we are required to participate. As far as our measures, we are still participating in the CAD measure, social drivers, advanced care plans, and the dementia and Alzheimer's. So each one of your patients, if they have a relevant diagnosis, that needs to be captured for all of your patient charts. Providers have to complete their social drivers on their own. So all long-term care patients have access to medical care, housing, and food. So that's an automatic yes for you guys. You just need to check it in the history section. All patients have an advanced care plan on file at the facility. Each patient is either a full code, a DNR, DNRCC. So this is an automatic and easy one for you guys to check yes to. So just complete these. It's a one and done. You only have to complete them once for a calendar year, and then you're then
per patient,
then it's complete per patient. I'm sorry. Yes. And then you just do it once and it's done. You don't have to do it per visit. It's just once per calendar year. So that's MIPS in a nutshell. We try to help you on the back end as much as we can, but there's no way that we can possibly do it for every patient. So that's really all I have to say about MIPS. Any questions? And then my last thing is just to make sure that you're always staying connected to Wi-Fi. This allows your schedule changes to replicate to and from your laptop, because you guys do chart in replication mode. And that's all I have for this evening.
Thank you, Melissa. Any questions about any of that? All right. Well, very good. Just a few things that I want to go over as well. First, I want to let everybody know that we appreciate all the work that Melissa does for the team and the company. And with that, she is stepping into a new position as Director of Clinical Operations. So I want to say thank you and congratulations to you, Melissa. I also want to make sure that everybody received their biologics IVR card. You should have received that in the mail. Just basically a quick little cheat sheet that you can clip onto your ID badge so that if you need to reference anything, you should have the criteria there for the IVR checklist. We are also working on a official policy for the biologics so that there is consistency with our documentation and the whole process. And so that's something that you can expect in your inboxes here in the upcoming weeks. If anybody has not received the card that I just mentioned, please do reach out to me and let me know, and we will make sure that we have another one shipped out to you. I know it was brought up last month, but I do want to again reinforce the importance of having your RM involved in any sort of schedule changes, even if it's a change in day or things like that, because of whatever the reason may be. Please make sure your RMs are involved and aware of these changes, and certainly for any cancellations, even that much more important to make sure that the RMs are aware. This continues to be a problem, and we kind of find out the hard way. So please, make sure that you're making the effort to let the RMs know. Any questions about any of those? All right. The last thing that I will go over is, hopefully you should have received a link for an article about a non-compliant patient. I know it did go out a little bit later than usual, but it is a quick read. Just a real quick recap about that article is that non-adherence and non-compliance with treatment and therapy is a big burden on the system. It can result in up to about 125,000 deaths and costs anywhere between $100 and $300 billion annually. It certainly, in wound care, leads to poorer outcomes, impaired quality of life, and frustration on both the patient and the clinician's side of things. There's a little bit of nuance in the nomenclature, where noncompliance is an intentional refusal by a patient to comply with any sort of treatment, where non-adherence is that there are certain factors that cause the patient to not be able to comply. Those reasons are kind of outlined in the article, but briefly, there can be a gap in the knowledge. And so, the patient may not necessarily understand completely their situation or their diagnosis. They may not really understand the intended treatment or why it's important. There can be psychological factors that influence this. Patients may enjoy being in that sick role. Some patients, I'm sure we've all had the skin pickers where these are again all sorts of psychological influences that can affect infect wound or affect wound healing. Certainly social factors, economic reasons why patients may not comply. If treatments and therapies are too expensive, they can't afford it. They may not have means to be able to go and go to the store and pick up certain things. That can all play into a patient's inability to comply with treatment. So what to do in these sort of situations? First and foremost, it comes down to education. Having that discussion, explaining to the patient why and what they have that, the problem to be, what the treatments are and the rationale for those treatments goes a long way. Again, I know in the setting that we practice, there can certainly be a deficit in their ability to understand, but I think it's still important to go over because any bits and pieces that they can pick up can certainly make a di difference. With everything else that we've always stressed, documentation is key. Documentation is important to not only show the steps that you've taken in order to try to help that person, the treatments that you've recommended, why you've recommended, but also to kind of help in terms of covering yourself from a medical legal aspect. It's no surprise that wound care, especially wound care in nursing homes, can be quite litigious. And you want to make sure that you've done what your due diligence in trying to help that patient. And if they're not able to help themselves, you've at least done your part. Lastly, the article refers to setting boundaries and enforcing them. Now, this doesn't mean giving ultimatums or threatening the patient, but you do want to stick to what you've said and what why you've recommended that, as well as those expected outcomes as to what could happen with non-compliance. So that's the article in a real short summary. Again, it's not a very long read. If you didn't get a chance to read it, I think it's good to read. It does give some examples and things like that. So wanted to just share that information with everybody this evening. Any questions about any of that? All right then. Milt, I will turn the floor over to you.
Okay, so I know Melissa's got some new staff that she can mention.
Yes. So Stephanie Black, she's my new LPN. I have Sam Dillon. She is my new RN in California. And then Lauren Karasimi is my new RN in Ohio. Sam's already started. Stephanie's been with me for 30 days, and Lauren is joining me on Monday.
Okay. We also have a new Southern California regional manager. Her name is Lori Quintero. Lori has conducted business development into nursing homes in California for several years. We're happy to have her joining our staff. She was in for training last week. She's working with mine just went blank. Holy cow. I'll get back to it in a minute. In the north, Katie, boy, my mind just went blank. Our Northern California regional manager, and we look for great things from both her and continued from Katie, because we're still working on this large Providence deal that we hope to land. That said, one of the things I do want to, two things I want to mention. One is on the biologics. We have hired, or no, we haven't hired, we're in the process of hiring, hopefully soon, a biologics nurse that should be able to help identify patients that could be eligible. She's not going, he or she's not going to recommend that you order it, but will point out that, let's say, someone's hit the criteria. And then if you're tied up with all kinds of other patient issues with other patients, might remind you that, you know, you might not have seen this patient for a little while or whatever, and this should bring it to people's attention. And then it's up to each provider to make that determination from that point forward. What's the best in the best interest of the patient, whether it's that or something else? That's a clinical decision, but this will help from a, if you will, just a reminder, if you will, or in information purposes only. But one other aspect, though, we have been getting more and more push from various owner operators of nursing homes, both those that we currently service as well as those that we're trying to get their business. And a common question that we're getting from their clinical team is, are you guys using biologics, and are you, you know, what's the amount that you guys tend to order? It is now considered an important aspect within the treatment process as to, are, you know, are we a leading edge provider or not? And we have candidly lost one account that we were trying to get a bunch of their facilities. They were very interested all the way until they heard the percentage that we were ordering compared to some of our competitors. And they just said, well, you guys really aren't at a leading edge basis in our opinion. And we've had a couple in the process that more recently, one in New Jersey, one in another state, also decline. And that was one of the reasons given, not the only necessarily, but so we've got to be cognizant that we don't want to abuse it. We don't want to guide anyone on how or when, but it's something that we need to keep in our quiver when it's appropriate. And we are also going to be looking into some other areas of some new clinical advances, nothing to do with biologics. We tried out the UltraMist with Dr. Cardan. We're going to look into potentially retrying it somewhere else and seeing how that goes. A number of operators or clinical teams are looking for that for patients that, let's say, have either you know, patients with on blood thinners who you can't perform a surgical debridement, or who you know, are otherwise compromised like that, as a potential option to also consider. So we'll keep you posted if and when we feel we've made enough progress in testing that out for our purposes. And that's really it on my part.
All right. Very good. Any questions from anybody?
I have a question though. Dr. Simmons, how has the new kind of little tweaking that Samson's provided you with helped you or not?
Well, I think you can probably speak to Donna about that. It has helped a lot.
Okay, good.
Definitely has helped a lot. It's. I think probably the only thing would be figuring a way how to, I guess, minimize if some of these patients just definitely don't qualify for the, for the biologics, how we can stop the reoccurrent reoccurrent pop-ups. That's all.
It's going to be a little trial and error process. Anyway, just because someone recommends it, we're still going to get denials a lot of the time. We don't control that. We can only do our best. So we're trying to, so everyone knows, we're trying to come up with some tools to help
Yeah.
providers know when patients potentially, could be considered, or if something was missed or whatever. But we're going to come up with, not just for biologics, but with other things. We're going to keep trying to, tweak things and see how we can improve our EMR and all other things like that.
Okay, but it's working perfect so far.
Okay, that's great to hear. Happy. You were the guinea pig.
I know.
Okay, so maybe now we'll be able to roll it out to some others. Okay, very good. I'm done, Dr. Girardi.
All right, no problem. Very good. Any other questions or comments? Anything else that we can address? All right, then, if there's no other questions or concerns, I thank you all again for joining us this evening and look forward to speaking to you next month. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.